It is the 1st of November, 1997, and I'm with Dr. Pradeep Raychaudhuri at his office at the University of Illinois at Chicago for his Pew Scholars program in the Biomedical Sciences Oral History and Archive Project Oral History Interview. And I'll go ahead and just start at the beginning and ask you when and where you were born.
I was born in Calcutta, India, and it was January
4th, 1958. Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about your family background? Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes. My father used to be a pharmacist in Calcutta, and I have five sisters and two brothers, three of the sisters are actually older than me.
Okay. So where do you fall in eight children your parents had, and you're falling towards the middle then?
Yes, right. Not eight, seven. So five sisters and two brothers. One brother.
One brother. Okay. And so you just have two siblings that are two sisters who are older, and your brother is younger than you are?
Right.
Right. Okay. And if your father being a pharmacist, he must also have received a university education, or how did that work?
Well, I think he finished college, it's a long time ago, after finishing school, there's a pharmacy school that you go to. And then that's where he went to. He was probably trained for 3 years or so for the pharmacy school.
And your mother? Did she work outside the home?
No.
Yeah. She had plenty of work to do inside
right,
the home.
Right.
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 Okay. Well, most of our, particularly at this time, most of our images of Calcutta come from the scenes surrounding Mother Teresa, just because of her recent death. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about growing up in Calcutta and your own experiences.
Well, in Calcutta, you know, I came to New York, and then from Calcutta to New York was such an easy transition. Mm-hmm. So it tells you how Calcutta is. It's diverse. It's a cosmopolitan city. Mm-hmm. And then you get to see everything. You get to do everything if you want to. And but it's a very old city, and it's right now it has gotten dirtier. You know, dirtier meaning it's not maintained very well. Compared to the other cities in India. Mm. The Mother Teresa thing that you saw, if you saw the Peter Jennings program,
Right. Those
TV, they were focusing the nicer part of Calcutta. Mm. They're not really... but growing up in Calcutta was actually a lot of fun because of the culture. You know, it's a very rich culture. Friends, and it's nice in every way.
Mm-hmm.
You do not know how life could be, you know, when you come to a different country and see different things.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone growing up in Calcutta who doesn't know outside world, is actually fun.
Well, what kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
Well, I was actually in a good part. It's in the really center of Calcutta. It's where, you know, the city was built by British, and then it's where many of these, you know, big British people used to live in that kind of neighborhood. So it's very well built, big streets. So it's not the door. When you hear about Calcutta, you hear about slums in Calcutta.
Right, right.
I was nowhere near those things, fortunately. And they're actually a little outside Calcutta, those slums. And I rarely get to see them. Only when I'm, you know, going outside Calcutta, then it's only then you get to see those things.
So what did you do for fun in your neighborhood? I mean, if you grew up in New York or Chicago, you'd go out and play stickball, but...
Well, we play stickball.
Okay.
We do not play baseball, but we used to play cricket.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know? we used to play cricket, which is...
kind of the original stickball.
That's right. And this is a very, you know, this game is played... I think all over India, and they also have a good international team. And I used to play soccer a lot, and then the thing those you know at that back then when I was growing up, soccer in Calcutta was pretty exciting, and then there were good teams. There was the league within Calcutta. There were like 12 or 15 teams, different clubs. They played a league, and then basically we used to go there and then watch the games. And then, so those are the fun part.
Okay. Well, to get back a little bit to your parents, what expectations did they have in regards to what they wanted their kids to become or do with their lives?
Yeah, my parents, when I came to Einstein, I saw this Jewish medical student or graduate student, they kind of reminded me, my parents, that I didn't get to study.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
the only thing you do. So that was not fun in that way. But, what was the other thing you asked?
Well, in terms of, so I guess they expected you to go to the university?
Oh, yes. My father was very strong that I do well in school and then so that I can get into the medical school. He was very adamant that I go to medical school because he was a pharmacist and he... He had a lot of friends who were, were basically health professionals, and so he wanted me to become a doctor, a physician, basically.
And what kind of physician or clinician versus perhaps more of a...
Those were his dreams.
Yeah.
And when it came to making a decision, we didn't get along at all.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of a first conflict that I had with my father. I did not want to go to medical school. He wanted me to go to medical school. he had this ambition that I would become a surgeon and things like that.
Well, at what age in India does a student have to think about decisions about going to medical school?
Well, this system has changed a little bit now, but back then we finished schooling after 12 years.
Okay.
So 12 years of schooling. So like finished 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point you can choose to go to medical school, engineering school, or just general education like what I did, go for bachelor's degrees in science or humanities.
So you would immediately from, say, your primary education and early secondary education, you'd apply directly to medical school. That's as opposed true. To an American system where you have the distinct undergraduate and then
right.
medical education.
Right. So the degrees they give out is actually a bachelor's degree. They're not in this country they
right.
give out MD,
yeah.
but they give MB,
okay.
MBBS. So that's a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this same type of, you know, they have an entrance exam that you have to take. And apparently the top students, just like this country, the top students, they get to go to the medical school. They do well in the exam and things like that. The engineering school is also very attractive, unlike this country, because finding a job is much easier.
Okay. Well, how were these same expectations shared by your siblings? Did your parents expect your siblings to go to the university in some kind of health-related field?
Well, you know, I was the first son.
Okay.
And the too much expectation on me to do certain things.
Right.
My brother had a lot easier life
okay.
in that regard. Yes. My sisters they all studied humanities and
okay.
they were not even. At an early age, they're not good in math. They never showed interest in science. They were more interested in subjects like history, language. As a result, my father knew that they were not going to go to medical school. So.
But he expected them to go to get
yeah,
an education.
Yeah, right. They all obtained master's degree.
Oh.
And, yes.
What do they do? And you can just like start at the top and go.
Well, the eldest sister, she used to teach in a school. She had a master's in a language which Sanskrit. I do
oh,
not know
my
if you
goodness.
Heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That language I don't think exists anymore. Almost in maybe some part of India. So she used to teach in a school, and right now I don't think she. Does any school teaching. I think she's basically at home. And the next one, she did not, well, she's taken job on and off, again in schools, never hold a permanent job. The next sister, she was a housewife.
Yes. Okay.
She loved growing children, and that's mm-hmm. what she is doing. Most of the sisters, they don't work. They basically stay
mm-hmm.
home and then.
And what does your brother do?
She works for a company in sales.
Mm.
And then he basically, like a sales manager kind of person.
Yeah. And are all your parents and your siblings all still in India, in Calcutta?
They're all not in Calcutta, but they're in India.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're in different parts of India.
Well, how did your father, given that he wanted his eldest son to go to medical school, how did he encourage you? Even did he stick a microscope in your hand when you were 5 years old? How did he encourage you to, with this interest that you needed to go to medical school?
Well, you know, it was kind of a long fight between me and him. the biology, you know, we start learning biology from, we learn a little bit at, you know, like early, early grades, like 5th, 6th, 7th. But the real biology with big terminologies, which I hated, even now I cannot handle them. They start from 9th grade.
Okay.
Very serious. There is like big, thick books from 9th grade for 3 years. And these books are so poorly written, it is hard for me to grow an interest. On the other hand, my father was hoping that I would grow an interest in biology. I did not at that time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, reading those books, I could not imagine that I would become a doctor or a physician. On the other hand, physics and maths, those are the subjects I loved at that time. I couldn't imagine that I would not do those, but study this
right.
for next 5 years. It was just like a nightmare.
So were you sneaking then, you know, reading or doing problems out of your physics and maths books while your father was bringing home more medical-oriented books?
Well, you know, my father never, what he never did is never pushed me on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
It was when the, you know, exam time, whether I'm studying biology or not. So I had a lot of freedom that way.
Okay.
And it was only when that I had to take an exam that decides whether I would go to medical school or not. That's when he was pushing me. And
you're about 16 or 17 years old when you have to take these exams?
You're right. Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before that, like, say, in grammar school, were you always seemed to be interested in math and physics, or were you equally interested in, say, you know, art or history at school, or just playing cricket and soccer?
Yeah, well, that's right. I played cricket, soccer, and math.
Okay, in that
that's
order.
That's all. I do not know why I did not grow an interest in history or geography, because these subjects I like very much now when I see my daughter's books.
Yeah.
When I realize that there's so many things I do not know. I would like to know. I would love to read a book and then learn about, you know, history and geography. It had to do probably with the books or the associations that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I had a tremendous interest in math. That was probably due to my grandfather. My grandfather meaning maternal, my mother's father,
mm-hmm.
who used to live with us basically in Calcutta.
Okay.
Just because, you know, well, my mother used to be the only daughter.
Okay.
They used to live in a different part, and so when my mother got married, they started basically, they couldn't stay away from her, and it was easy for my father to have them, you know, and then, that's probably the reason that we had, my mother could have that many children. My grandfather was, what he used to do, he used to buy books on mathematical puzzles. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And what he would do, he would basically spend a lot of time with me trying to solve those puzzles. You know, he would not start from, you know, there are like arithmetic puzzles, like, you know, starts from 1 and goes up to 10 in a chapter, 1 being the easiest and then 10 being the most difficult. What he would do, start from 10 and sit on and thinking, trying to solve the puzzle. And I'm like a 5-year-old boy at the time. Five, six. And then I used to be very fond of him. And then as a result, what I used to do, and then he basically challenged me to do, you know, solve some of those difficult ones. I don't remember how many I did, But I grew a knack of solving difficult problems, and that kind of stayed with me throughout my school, you know, like next 15, throughout my school, that I loved math. There was no problem that I could not solve at that time. I was famous for that, that it's a difficult problem, no one could solve it, come to me and get it done.
Okay.
I was very poor in other subjects. I had no time for the subjects that I could not relate to. And I feel bad about those things. And I think given if the books were written better or presented in a different way, I probably would have liked many other subjects.
Well, did you work out a deal with your fellow students that you would do their math problems if they do your, you know, language or history?
It never worked that way. You know, the exams are the difference. The styles are different. You go to an exam, you always write an essay type. You answer an essay type question all the time. And your grades depend on how well you answered those questions. So no one can help you there.
Right. Well, were your teachers in school ever identifying any particular interests or abilities in you?
Yes, obviously. The math teacher was very fond of me because I used to do very well in math. You know, there's in a later part after ninth grade, mm-hmm. when I start seeing the physics teacher, you know, the science, then this is to be one science subject till eighth grade, and then ninth grade you start seeing physics book, chemistry book, and then other several mathematics books. At that time, you know, the science teachers started liking me. I think the knack in mathematics helped me, you know, understand physics. Probably, you know, it was kind of an easier subject for me. Chemistry, I liked probably because it involved a lab, it involved test tubes, it involved changing colors, you know. So those things were actually quite interesting to me at that point.
And how were your teachers at those levels?
The science teachers were actually fantastic. They were very good science and math teachers in the school I went to. They were very good in what they used to do. I would compare any good teacher in this country way they would explain things. Time they would spend with students, I still think that some of the teachers I have seen in college and after college, I learned more from those school teachers in terms of how to think, how to solve the problems and things like that.
Mm. Okay. Well, to go a little bit back to your grandparents, was your grandfather, did he have any formal education? What did he do?
Well, he used to be, he used to be a physician, but this is not the what do you call them? You know, they use herbals to treat patients. There's a name for it. It's not homeopathy. I can't recall. So he used to treat patients.
Osteopathic?
No. Probably there's probably no English name for it. Anyway, you can compare him. You know, there are physicians in this country that, you know, they use herbals to treat, you know, patients. They have herbal drugs and then leaves. They will make medicine and then
herbalists. More herbalists or not a homeopathy? It wouldn't be described as homeopathy.
Well, no, not a homeopathy. It's clearly different from it. It's an Indian origin.
Origins, okay.
Totally Indian origin. And so that's so that way. I do not recall his education, how far he studied or anything. I was never interested to find out either.
Oh, okay.
In fact, he died at an, you know, when I was still in school. So.
So if you got sick, how were you treated? With your father being a pharmacist?
Oh, no, yeah, that was very clear. My father was very strong about that.
Okay. So, kind of...
I was given antibiotic.
Okay, so basically traditional...
Right.
Western kind of medicine. Okay. And what about your grandparents on your father's side? Did you have much contact with them?
No, actually very little. Very little contact with them. Although they used to visit us, and then they never made an impression on me. My grandfather, he lived for 112 years, and he died at an age of 112. He was thin. He used to walk like 5 miles a day. At an age of 100.
Oh, my God.
I have never seen him suffering from any diseases.
That's amazing.
Except for one minor car accident he had. They were very healthy individual. They had fun life. You want to get back to... I can tell you about their stories.
Right, certainly. I find that interesting.
Well, my grandfather used to be landlord. So he used to be in what you know Bangladesh now.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, it used to be part of India. Used to be one Bengal. So the state I grew up is called West Bengal, and the other part is East Bengal. They still speak same language,
mm-hmm.
And so my grandfather used to be a landlord in. He used to be a very rich person. There are stories about him that people talk about, and I do not know how real those were. And, mm-hmm. For example, he would go to take an exam. He was taking an elephant ride to go to the exam hall, and then
to make a grand entrance,
right?
Okay.
I saw him quite a bit, but you know, he never showed any interest in. In fact, we never had any, you know, significant interaction. Although he was very close to my father was very close to him. But I probably never had time for him. Maybe I was busy with it. So. Unlike my maternal grandfather, who had a lot of influence on me, and I still think that a lot of my scientific ability, the ability to think, and an ability to solve a problem, probably came from association with him.
Given that he practiced perhaps a different kind of science than your father would consider to be?
No, not that.
Okay.
He stopped practicing when he started living with us. He used to basically take care of us. He used to... It's the fact that he used to, you know, do math with me.
Yeah.
The level of math he used to do at that point, you know, which when I was like in first grade, he would try a math, a fifth grade on me.
Wow.
Try, you know, challenge me to solve that.
So in terms of your education and the math and the mathematical aspects of it, you were probably getting a better education at home than you were at school?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At least in those earlier, in the earlier, you know, grades, schools, like, he died when I was in 10th grade, I guess.
And did it help that your other grandfather, if he showed up on an elephant to his exams, did that help him pass his exams?
Well, there are stories about those things, and I do not know how true they are.
Okay.
I do not want you to record all those things.
Okay. Shall we pause? We'll pause the tape. Okay. Well, from what little history of India that I know, particularly being a Europeanist, India is an interesting place for me because it was forced under the colonial period to be very westernized, and its science to this day is very advanced and relative to other westernized nations, but it also has its own traditional culture. And what kind of values did your parents, both in terms of a kind of traditional Indian values and religious values, did your parents instill in you? Given that your father's clearly being a pharmacist and was very much into towards the Western scientific tradition.
That's true. But my father is also a very religious person.
Okay.
And if I start talking about it, it's going to be like a big story.
That's okay.
Because he used to, you know, we are Hindus.
Right.
Okay. By religion. And there are, you know, in India, there are in the several, you know, big, at one time you can find, I don't know how I describe this, they're big religious person that who are respected by a massive number of people. They're not prophet, but people who respect them, they consider them like that. And so my father was associated with someone like, you know, a big religious person, like
a prophet.
Well, you know, you can. That's how my father will call, but this person never. And in fact, he banned people not to call him that way. So my father had a strong association with this person, and he made sure that all his children associate with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to visit and then see this person like once a week as you go here to church on Sunday morning. We used to go and then visit this person, and there's prayer, and we used to do that. And I have done that since I was, what, a few years old. And so he had linked me to this person, and I have read a lot of his books. These are on philosophy, mainly Hindu philosophy. They are related very much to Buddhism, and if you think about what is the basic facts in these, and you find that they're very similar to Buddhism, Hinduism, Buddhism. There are a lot of similarities at the very basic level. But then they diverge a lot, depending on how people interpret things. So I have actually grown because of this association and my father's interest in religion, I have, at many times, I have read, I still read books on religion and philosophy. I try to understand it because science is totally like an opposite thing from what this religion and this prophet that they say. And there are people who are well respected Hindu philosopher, or they're not, they're again, like one of these person. They actually are more in terms, I can relate, as a being scientist, I can relate to them more than I can relate to someone who, a Catholic priest, because of what, how open, broad-minded they were in terms of thinking what God is and what, with the science, how far science is from God. Some of them are actually quite broad-minded, and they, you can relate to them being a scientist more easily.
In what ways?
In way they define God.
Okay. And how would you? It's obvious that you still think about these issues.
I'm confused. I'm confused. Right.
How do you relate to God being a scientist, but obviously being a religious person?
Yeah, well, there are many, this person I was associated with, become from my, my father's, this person I was talking to, there are certain things he would say would make a lot of sense. He would say that every human being you see is God. He would respect every human being as God. Sometimes it makes it difficult because a bad person is also defined as a God. So that makes it difficult. But for them, some of these people, they cannot distinguish between a bad person and a good person. To them, they're all God. They treat them equally. So for me, to understand that every person is God, to be able to respect everyone, I have no problem with that. I can handle that. I can deal with that. And they say that the purpose this is a difficult part. Of thinking everybody, every human being you see is a God, is that they said that they evolve. We die and then reborn, and then we develop to someone like a God, to become like a God. So some of these prophets, they say they are this is probably like their 300th life. So they have evolved to become at that point. So they're saying that this is simply an evolution process from a bad person to become a prophet of same thing. So they do not distinguish. They just tell you that the purpose of life is just to develop yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. And then if you're looking for God, they say, just like Mother Teresa, help people. If you're helping people, then you're helping. And then you're basically the same thing as praying to God. So these are kind of things that I could appreciate, and I have no problem being a scientist.
Well, when one associated with a particular person, what did associate? What does that mean?
Well, you become a disciple.
Okay. And so you go once a week or right. And right. talk or pray or read?
Basically pray, because it's a huge crowd, you do not get to talk.
Okay.
But some of the disciples he would like very much, so they have easier access to him.
Okay. And was your father one of these people who had
right.
easier access?
Right.
And was it at his home, or was it at some kind of place of
yeah, you can
worship?
They, yes, okay. Place of worship, could they call ashram.
Okay.
You know, more like a church kind of
yeah.
thing.
And do you continue to associate with a particular person now?
He died when I was doing my PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And then so
you don't associate with a particularly different person now, but
well, there is someone in that ashram.
Okay.
who inherited the who basically runs this.
Right.
So this is a sect, you know. This is a particular group. This is a group of people that they have. They basically have. I'm probably going away from all what you were. Supposed
no, not at all.
All
I
right.
mean, this is undoubtedly you're the first Indian I've interviewed and Hindu person
right.
believer I've interviewed. But it's amazing the religious diversity, of course, in the Pew Scholars, because they come from all places. And
right.
it certainly is an important issue when we're trying to understand, you know, the intellectual
right.
context of these of your lives. And this is certainly quite interesting. So,
well, yeah, I find that the some of the, you know, philosophy, you know, science, doing science is my occupation. I cannot do anything other than doing science. This is the only thing I can do. I'm
why
not good
is
at
that?
It. I have grown in. I used to spend 18 hours a day thinking science. I still
okay.
spend 16, 17, 18 hours a day thinking science. And when I have to do something outside that, I'm so bad at that. That and I can't imagine doing something else. But religion is something that is, you know, because of my father, and then I must say that I was able to meet this person
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, who I do consider a very respected person. I respect him a lot. And because of his teachings, because of what he said, you know, I'm quite an educated person, and I still think he knows a lot more than I can ever learn. And I'm not lying or anything.
Right.
This person wrote books. And those books I still read now, and I can see kind of things he's saying and explaining. And then they all make sense. They all make sense, and you can explain it. So I was fortunate in that way, that I was associated with a person, and that's why maybe I had grown an interest in religion. I have read a lot of religious books, and I still read them. Obviously, there's something there. It cannot be, you know, total fake. There's something there, definitely there, and then how far I can understand that, how far I can. Obviously, I'm not, you know, spending any effort trying, any significant effort to trying to learn that, but I would like to learn, as, you know, when I have time, I would like to learn about it. That's what it is.
Okay. Let me flip this tape over.